I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, what do you got there?
This is the new Ping G430 Max 10K driver. It's next level, I'll tell you. It's so impressive. We all know that Ping help you play your best. I've been using them for years. I wouldn't use anything else. In fact, this new driver, it's Ping's straightest and highest moment of impact driver ever.
Holy moly. So on the course, what's that going to mean? How's it going to help golfers?
Well, to put it simply, it means people are going to be hitting longer, straighter, and they're going to absolutely crack their drives off the tee. I could talk about it all day. It's that good. But the best thing to do, if you want to check out how impressive Ping's new G430 Max 10K driver is, just book in with your local golf shop or professional to arrange a Ping club fitting, and I'll see you out there with my Ping gear.
Well, it's week 9 of the golfing year, and we're live from the Australian Golf Centre, home of the PGA of Australia and Golf Australia. And we're here thanks to our mates at Ping. And you might have read this week, the number one driver with live players is from Ping. Not only the Ping players, but a heap of the others as well. Not a surprise. They're the best in the business. And thanks to the team at the Golf Clearance Outlet, they've got great gear at incredible prices and gift vouchers, the perfect prezi for a golf-loving friend or a loved one. Check them out in-store or online at golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Okay, time for the show. Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen, this is the number one Australian golf podcast, Talk Birdie to Me.
So, I was talking to Andy, and Andy looks after the Legends Pro-Am circuit here in Victoria.
Yeah.
They have never, in the history of Legends Tour here in this country, had more people logged on to the Port Arlington Pro-Am.
Well, you know why.
Leaderboard than this week.
Because they wanted to know if you were going to shoot your 65.
Yes, yes.
I was waiting for the victory speech.
I was very unlucky.
You played well, though. You shot under par.
I shot under par. I was really happy to shoot under par.
Yeah.
But I was a little bit nervous earlier. I was two over after about six, and I'm thinking, oh, God.
I actually got off to a good start.
I saw that.
Eventually, I almost got myself DQ'd.
Yeah, what happened with the DQ?
I had a one-stroke penalty in the end. So
why?
Well, I got off nice, to a nice start, and then reality set in. I've got the half set, just slinging along, having a bit of fun with my amateur partners. Started making a few bogeys, and then I hooked one out of bounds as a par five. I can't remember. It was on the front nine. And my bag's like 100 yards down the fairway because you got to walk back to the tee.
Right.
And I thought, oh, that's too hard. My playing partner said, oh, I got a ball. And I said, oh, okay, no worries. Titleist says, yeah, no worries. Threw me a Titleist. I hit it off, and I get down there. I look at the ball, and
Wrong number. Oh, wrong colour on the number.
This is a black Titleist. I used the red, and I've gone, screw it. I've probably just DQ'd myself. I almost made eagle on the hole with the second ball, but I got back in later, and they said, no, it's a one-shot penalty. So,
well, look, we gave my mob then just a nice little wrap Titleist. So we better give your mob Ping a very big pump up because they look after us here at Talk Birdie to Me. And Sam Colosimo at the Golf Clearance Outlet, he's jumped on for more. We've got even more support from the Golf Clearance Outlet, and that is because, Nick, let's not mess around, it's the number one golf podcast that people listen to in Australia. Thank you so much for tuning in week after week after week. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we can get better and better and better.
Yep, and we're going global. We've hit Latvia already. We're going into the US. Yeah,
how is Latvia going, by the way?
We've got three now.
Oh, we're up to three.
Three.
What's going on in Latvia? Why?
Don't know. We had two. Now we've got three.
Do they even have golf courses in Latvia? can you quickly look up the best golf course in Latvia?
Hang on, let me...
I'll
call up Latvia. Okay, Latvia golf course.
It'd be Royal something.
It'll be something here. Oh my gosh, there's a website here, the five best golf courses in Latvia.
It does not.
No, it did. But let me call, I'll go to the image here and I'll see the photo.
While you're looking it up, I've got to say, I admire Charlie Woods even more. Oh, hang on, back to you. Go.
Look at that.
What is it? I can't read it.
It's a golf course in Latvia in a place called Riga.
It looks quite good. I'd play there.
Oh, it looks pure. It looks a bit lynx-ish.
Okay.
It's very nice.
Sorry, can you screenshot that out and send it to our listeners, please?
What am I, like your personal or our social media slave?
Well, sort of. That's your job.
Oh, jeez. You talk about Charlie Woods.
Yeah. Charlie Woods. I've been a big admirer of his golf swing for a long time. It is now very well documented, and we were talking about this last year, that he's nowhere near the number one, even in Florida, for his ranking in his age group.
Yep.
But my God, the stones on this kid, knowing that he would be followed and that he's trying to qualify for this week's US PGA Tour event, but it was actually a pre-qualifying for the qualifier for the Monday qualifying.
Yeah, they have a pre-qualifier on the Thursday before for the Monday qualifying.
That's right. Yeah,
which was, it was the old Honda tournament. Now it's called the Cognizant Classic.
Yeah. Well, I'd just like to say, well done, Charlie. The stones that you possess to actually get out there. Now, you shot 86. That happens. Yeah. You had a 12 on a hole or
something. I'm impressed he finished the round after making a 12. He just sort of handed in and away you go. But
well, it's funny you say that because that's kind of in the spirit of what they do in America. I've been to quite a few Monday qualifyings, and I've had blokes walk off the course. Oh, yeah. They're one over par, and they walk off after nine holes. Well, you've got to shoot 64. You've got to shoot 64, at least. So I've played with a number of players who are one, two, or three over and just shook my hand on the ninth green and said, go well. So it happens a bit. So for him to stay in there, good. To put up with all the crap that was going on, apparently people asking him to sign autographs and all kinds of garbage. Well done, kid.
I heard there was There was a grandmother took her granddaughter out there hoping to hook him up with Charlie.
Yes.
I heard that as well. It's ridiculous.
That's true.
When you say hook him up, what?
As in, hopefully they could meet and maybe,
come on.
As in Prince William style.
Yes.
Yeah, Prince William.
Like the crown.
You saw the crown.
Yes, I did.
And what's
Kate.
Kate's mum. Yeah, Kate's mum. She had a plan. On.
Do you reckon that's real, though? Is there a bit of mayo in that, maybe?
I don't care.
I don't know.
I want it to be true.
Yes. Me too. It's a great story.
I reckon that's going to be good for him, Charlie Woods. I think that takes the gloss off what we all see and what's all expected. And I think that, you know, if he's... I always tell my kid, you know, in the improvement graph... The improvement doesn't go straight up. It goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. It's not the graph, that line that goes up and down that's important. It's the bottom one that you've got to keep on going. The timeline is the important one. If the timeline stops or your endeavor, if your endeavor stops, then the graph stops. So I just hopefully his endeavor and his time put into playing golf doesn't stop. And his graph, even though this was a severe downturn for that green line, he'll get better.
Yeah, it obviously is going to hurt the confidence a little bit. And I still have to, you know, for me, it's a little early.
Yep.
I would have given it a couple more years. Maybe wait till you're 16, 17, then give it a crack. He's 14. I mean, he's never going to get in. And what's the point in going out there and putting yourself through that? Maybe it's to see where his game was at. And obviously it needs a bit of work.
Yeah. Well, apparently, you know, he's a pretty confident kid.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you've been around him, haven't you? You were around him when he was a tiny little kid.
Yeah, we used to hang out when I was six or seven, and there's some pretty good sledging coming along from the young fella.
So you can imagine what he's like today.
Yeah.
I mean, he would be an arrogant little bugger in a good kind of way, I imagine.
Let's hope it's in a good way.
Yeah. Was he 15 now?
14.
Approaching 15. I've never seen a golf swing for some, maybe I'll just say a boy because... Who was the young lady? Who was the superstar golfer who 14 years old? Michelle Wee's 14. Still the number two most amazing thing I've ever seen in golf was a 14-year-old girl missed the cut by one shot in a fully-fledged PGA Tour event with a lot of good players, and that was in Hawaii. I think it was the Sony. So she's probably got the best 14-year-old or 15-year-old swing I've ever seen, but Charlie Woods is right there. Right there. Yep. So keep on trucking, kid. Anyway, I wonder if he listens. Do you think that would have spurred him on a little bit in the graph, the talk?
Motivational speech.
I'll send the graph to him.
Yeah, we'll send the audio over. Nick will have an email address for him.
Yeah, sure.
All right. Well, you and I basically sent the same thing on Twitter at the same time earlier in the week when Anthony Kim, the mystery man, we're talking about obnoxious confidence. This kid had it all. He had diamond-plated belt buckles.
Yeah,
he had the whole lot. He had the golf swing, the match. Did you ever play with him?
I did. Yep.
Well, let me stop the intro right now.
No, no.
You start talking.
No,
what was he like to play with?
Very cocky, very confident, had the swagger about him, and he was a flusher, absolutely. He hit the ball beautifully.
Yeah.
I can't remember where I was playing with him, whether it was a tournament round or a practice round. Anyway, he was on his – actually, it must have been a practice round because he was on the phone to his agent most of the way around.
Is that right?
Talking about deals that they're going to sign and things like that. So, yeah, it was a practice round. I think it might have been in Palm Springs.
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
I've never seen a kid's arms fold more perfectly in front of their body. Maybe Steve Elker's kind of in that mould as well. Their arms just always seem to be right in front of the chest. Just while we're on Anthony Kim and going back to Liv, did you see the news that the Saudi Arabians are planning on moving the PIF fund to not $1 trillion, but $2 trillion? Now, I had to write it down. That's a 2 with 12 zeros.
It's a lot of zeros, yeah.
12. So, we've got the Fenway Sports Group or the, what they call the Strategic Sports Group.
Correct.
SSG. They've got, they've given the PGA Tour access to $1.5 billion.
With another 1.5 coming.
All right, so they've got $3 billion. But that's no real match for the $2 trillion just floated recently.
Yeah, well, they've got, what is it about? I read there was $735 billion in their fund left at the moment because I guess they've spent a little bit recently. That's not too bad, right? So they're selling off 1% of Aramco over the next 6 years where it's going to give them $2 trillion, I believe.
Don't you say that, Aramco?
No.
Aramco. Sorry, I've been picked up on that. Aramco. Yeah. Sorry about that. It's make-believe,
it's
isn't it?
Mind-boggling.
I mean, I feel like I'm in... It doesn't make sense.
It's, what do you call it? Monopoly money. Well, it's actually more than monopoly money.
I've done my mathematics, and if the DP World Tour continues to have around 50 tournaments a year, if they made every tournament a minimum of $30 million, which would dwarf what's going on over in the US, it doesn't even scratch that $2
trillion.
No. I mean, there's still... a 1, and then a 9. There's still 1, 9, and there's $1.9 trillion left if they do that to the DP World Tour.
I would not think it's a coincidence that has come out only a matter of a couple of weeks after this other deal was done with PIF. I mean, it's clearly a shot across the bow.
It is the biggest shot across the bow in the history of this planet. I think without a doubt. Now, Nick, you and I, we're salivating at the thought of what would happen, okay? What would happen if, what's the minimum purse on the PGA Tour these days? Is it, what did they just play for last week?
The winner got 1.4 or 1.5, so that's got to be...
That's 18%. What's that, about 5 million?
Eight million? Seven or 8 million probably is minimum.
Okay, so hang on. 18% of 5 million is 900,000. So it's somewhere between, it's a little bit higher than 7.5. So probably it's an $8 million tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have to be the minimum. So if they... said, okay, everybody, the DP World Tour minimum purse moving forward is $25 million. What would that do to the US Tour, Nick? You've been over there. You understand it. Would it become a purely
American tour? American tour, number one, yeah. Because a lot of international players will go, okay, hang on. We can play for quite a bit more money over in Europe now. I've always sort of said this.
So the Højgaards would move back. You think about all of it. The Højgaards would go straight back.
Yep.
The Parvon, who's leading the FedEx Cup, he goes straight back.
Probably.
The Finland bloke, what was his name? He just came second in that.
Sami Valimaki.
He's straight back. Yeah.
But again, how much is enough at the end of the day? It's sickening, the amount of money that's going on right now, the greed.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But still, if I was playing, I'm going back.
Yeah,
I'm going sayonara. Mm. The minimum purse is $25 million. What does that mean? I mean, hang on a second. What's 18% of $25 million?
Are there cuts?
Yeah, there's cuts. There's got to be cuts. But you'd probably get, $10,000 for missing the cut,
yeah,
like you do in the majors. What do you get for missing a cut in the majors these days?
It's probably around that, I'm guessing.
When I missed the cut in 99, I think I got $5,000.
Did you really?
Yeah. for missing the cut in 1999. That's a long time ago.
Yeah, I remember missing cut and going, hang on, I'm getting paid? What? Yeah. I missed the cut. I shouldn't be getting paid. But in the majors, they used to do that.
Yeah,
which was nice.
I think they still do. Okay. So you might get a situation where, I mean, if it's a $25 million purse, US, to where there might be $5 million for cut misses, they might split it that way. And there's $20 million. Otherwise, so every tournament would be worth $3.6 million if you won the tournament. $3.6 million US.
Mm.
I think they would lose every flag, just about every flag. You know, there's a few over there who live there now.
Yeah.
Jason Day would stay there.
He'd stay. Rory would be an interesting one.
Yeah. Scotty would move across.
Yep.
He'd play the rest. So they're the Australians looked after.
Mm.
But then Rory?
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Rory's he's a Floridian.
He's doing okay anyway. So,
Well, geez, I mean, something will happen soon.
It seems that way because we're coming to a bit of a head right now.
And well done to the Masters people too for giving Joachim Niemann an invitation, mm-hmm. even though he doesn't qualify for any other reason apart from being a good player.
Yeah, they gave out three recently. Joachim Niemann, Thorbjørn Olesen, and Ryo Hasatsune.
He's
a Japanese player. He won the Rookie of the Year on the DP World Tour last year.
Ah.
Olesen's been playing well of late. I think he won in Dubai somewhere. And Niemann, the interesting thing with him was they never mentioned anything about his LIV affiliation. It was just more about how well he's been playing around the world. He won the Australian Open, obviously. Now, I think they should give an invite for the Australian Open winner. That would be fantastic. They obviously do it for the Asia Pacific Amateur Championship, which we had recently next door to us here at Royal Melbourne. So why not give it for the Aussie Open as well? So, because they're all at the moment playing, like the Asian Tour this past week, they had 20 LIV players playing that tournament up in Oman, and they're all playing for world ranking points because that's the biggest thing at the moment. As we know, the world ranking points, there's a bit of an issue going on. Are they relevant, et cetera, et cetera? And then there's been this talk recently that there's almost ranking players off this thing called Data Golf. Do you know much about the Data Golf rankings?
No, so, I don't. Mm. But what would that be? It would be off.
It has to do with like strokes gained, you know, and it's really ranking people on how well they play.
Not so much the tournament they're playing in.
Well,
just how well they play.
I did a little bit of research on it, and it basically ranks golfers that play in an official world ranking golf sanctioned event, a LIV event, or a world amateur golf ranking event, and it's determined by averaging the field strength. Adjusted scores of each golfer across pro and amateur tournaments with more recent rounds receiving more weight. Now, I was looking at the different players that are playing LIV and also playing all around the world. And from the LIV players, for example, if you go by the Data Golf rankings, in the top 100 of the Data rankings, there are 18 of LIV golfers there. Right. And in the official World Golf rankings, there's only 9. So that means, in the Data Golf rankings, they're ranking obviously double the amount on the LIV Tour in the top 100. Now, the top 50, there's 8 in the Data Golf rankings, 5 in the official World Golf rankings. So there's a lot of conjecture going on at the moment because you look at someone like, I'll give you an example. Sergio Garcia is ranked like 78 on the Data Golf World rankings.
Right.
Official Golf World rankings, he's ranked 606. So there's a massive discrepancy there. So there's a lot of players like that. Like Dustin Johnson, he's 29 on the Data Golf rankings. And the World Golf rankings, he's 238. So,
yeah.
And then you get the odd one there, it's flipped. Like Brooks is actually 44 in the Data, but he's 29 in the official World Golf rankings.
Yeah.
So there's a bit of to-ing and fro-ing, and there's a lot of discussion around all this at the moment. And obviously Niemann has been very vocal about the fact that he couldn't play in certain majors because he's not getting world ranking points. Now, my thinking behind that is, well, you knew what you were getting into.
Yeah.
Okay. When you signed up, you knew you weren't going to get ranking points, so it's obviously going to slip. So you shouldn't be crying poor about that, that's for sure. But to his credit, he's gone around the world and playing all these tournaments because he wants to play the majors.
Do you think they were all told that they were going to get world ranking points?
That's what I've heard. Yep.
Yeah.
They were told that. But they haven't come to the party when they've got to do the things. You know, you need a 36-hole cut. One of the sticking points with LIV, for example, is the 25th ranked player in LIV could leave the tour because you're not in the top 24. Top 24 stay on the tour the next year. However, there are players that are guaranteed contracts. They could finish last in LIV. They're the captains of teams, and yet they get to play the following year. So you can't have those sorts of things going on at the same time if you want to have it legitimised. And then another player said, well, he eased off in the individual event because he wanted the team to win.
Yeah.
So if you're doing those sorts of things, you can't have it both ways.
Okay. I've been searching while you were talking, but I just found the World Golf Rankings criteria to have World Golf Rankings on your tour. Now, I'll read them. An embrace of inclusion and promoting non-discriminatory practices. Tick. Right, that one's okay. Competitions contested over 72 holes, except for development tours like the BEMA TV Tour, the Alps Golf Tour, the Euro Pro Tour, among others, which are permitted to be 54-hole events. So if they're obviously allowed to give out permission, but they don't want to adjust at the moment for that one. So that's a cross. An open annual qualifying school held before the start of each season. I guess it's new. And I guess there's not many spots. What is it, three?
Yeah.
But it's
how
there.
Open was, I don't know. They gave out the invites, didn't they?
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think anyone
there
could.
There was criteria.
Yeah. But basically.
Yeah, we'll give them a tick for that.
We'll give them a
tick. Give them a tick, yep.
All right. A field size on average.
Yep.
Of 75 players over the course of a season. So that's a cross.
That's a no.
A 36-hole cut, whether playing 54 or 72 holes.
That's a no.
Cut. Yeah. A clear opportunity to progress to a full member tour, that is, to one of the six members of the International Federation of the PGA Tours. So...
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. I think they've been banned, haven't they?
Well, they're a closed shop, aren't
they? Yeah, that's right. Number seven, reasonable access for local and regional players, i.e. Monday qualifiers, at each of its tournaments.
So that's a no too.
Hmm. So there's a few no's.
Yep.
But it's not out of the question. I mean,
Bryson says they've checked all the boxes.
Yeah.
I remember he did an interview, and I'm thinking, what criteria have you been reading, Bryson?
Yeah, so I saw that too. The stuff I read out there was in was a return serve to what Bryson was saying.
Right. Okay.
So that's where that one came from. Jake Knapp.
Oh, how good.
Now, obviously, he had a look at your masterclass last week.
You said
because
that.
The smooth transition of this kid at the top. And then the pump out 190 plus ball speed, that's off the charts.
Frightening. You know who he reminded me of? And there was a video done of him and Fred Couples, but he actually reminds me of Cameron Champ.
Yeah.
That swing, that effortless power. Oh, my goodness. And the angles he was creating.
Yeah.
Such a wide takeaway. And then the lag is insane.
I saw a video this week, and I think you might have even sent it through. When you look down the line of both Couples and him, their swings look different. But when you look front on,
side,
the follow through and some of the stuff done on the backswing, it's very much like Fred Couples. Yeah. And I couldn't see that from the standard behind the tee view.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
No. Well, I don't think Freddie was a bouncer at a nightclub either, so.
Yeah.
A little different.
I only hit two greens.
Two fairways
on the last day.
Goes to show.
You need some defense.
Oh, yes.
And my masterclass a little bit later will be on the defense. What's your top five? Because we're going to have a break. Your top five.
My top five is going to be, in honour, I guess, of Jake Knapp and how far he hits it, my top five players, the longest players I've ever played with.
Oh, nice.
Played with. So there are probably other players who are longer, but.
Okay. These are the ones that you've played
that
with?
That I've played with.
Well, you just watched them hit and your mouth was open?
Yeah, well, I knew. I had to drive a wedge and I'd catch up to them.
Righto, a couple of party pies for me. What do you want? Chicken avocado sandwich or something special?
You know I like my wraps.
Oh, hang on a second. How do people get this number?
Mate, I don't know how it happens. I don't know how it happens. They just find it.
Hello, Talk Birdie to Me Hotline.
G'day, boys. How's it going?
Hey, mate, we're well. Who's this?
Oh, this is Tim Jacobson. So I'm from Waratah and one of the newly appointed directors up there, which is pretty exciting.
Oh, brilliant.
Fantastic.
Hey, Tim.
Good stuff.
Just got a quick question, without notice, and that is, what's the biggest plug you've ever had? Have you had to, like, and when I say plug, I mean in terms of a golf ball into a green. So obviously the greens need to be kept nice and wet through summer, but we've had a substantial amount of rain and playing off the blues on the third hole, 7-iron teed up over the tree there. If you know Waratah well, you'll know there's a tree just, you know, put in the exact right spot.
Yeah.
over top of the tree there. I was expecting it to skid on, get to the green, and I thought I was in the bushes for sure. And I was half a ball deep.
Half a ball deep.
Half a ball.
God.
Divot tool, mark it up, divot tool out.
Truth.
Bring in the excavators just to fill the plug.
Subterranean.
I'm trying to think. I reckon I've had plenty of plugged balls, but no plugs really that were under the surface of the putting green.
Not in the green. No, I've had them in the fairways when they're really soft, obviously. Yeah, that is insane. Well, it saved you, so well done.
It sounds like it's pretty wet there, Waratah. Is the course holding up okay?
Yeah, the course is in mint condition, and this week they've got the Latitude 35 Pro-Am, so that's going to be played, and we're playing with the defending champ, James Conran, I believe it is.
Is that Stephen Conran's son, I think? See, I used to play a bit of golf with Steve Conran. He was a winner on the Japanese circuit.
I'll take that with me and use it in the field.
Where's Waratah? I've got no idea.
Oh, you've got to get yourself in here. So we're up in Newcastle, Lake Macquarie. So Waratah used to be at Waratah until BHP needed some extra land. So they bought it out and moved us out to Argentine. That was years ago, way before me. So we're out in Argentine there, so in Lake Macquarie. So beautiful part of the world. Quite a lot of golf courses in and around here. The best part about Waratah, and I'm going to give it a little plug, just like the ball, and that is the juniors. So they've got a great little junior program, and there's quite some good golfers. Yeah, some quite good golfers that hopefully are going to come through the ranks there and really sort of, step up, and you might see them on the big stage.
Hey, Tim, just as we finish, what's the handicap there? What are you playing off?
Oh, geez, I wish I was off scratch, but look, I'm 18.9 myself, personally.
Oh, that's good.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good. Good fun golf at that number, Tim. Good
shot
on
a
you.
Hole. I like that.
Shot a hole is beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for giving us a bell, mate, and good luck with everything there at Waratah and the junior program.
Thanks, Tim.
Sensational. Thanks, boys. Have a great day.
Now my party pies are getting cold. I'll see you on the 10th.
All right.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, if you haven't checked out the Golf Clearance Outlet, then you, I can guarantee you this, are missing out. And if you have, well, you know what we're talking about. Great time to drop in, because with all the new equipment released in January, good old Sam at the Golf Clearance Outlet is licking his lips, because the stores are chock full of 2023 branded clearance product. And you know, that was a hell of a year for golf equipment, Nick.
You're spot on there, Mark. There's heaps of gear for righties, of course, but as you know, I am a lefty, so there's a heap of gear for lefties as well, and plenty for both men and women. And if you're after a great Prezi idea, you can get gift cards in-store or online.
So if you're looking for great golf gear and great prices, the Golf Clearance Outlet needs to be in your plans to go and check it out. See the team in-store at Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane and Perth, or online, golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. It's that simple, Nick.
Can't wait.
Hang on, Nick. I thought you were righty putting now.
Oh, that's right. I forgot.
Hey, Nick, I know you've heard of the Watch My Numbers app. It is brand new, and it is going to dominate the golf app scene for a long, long time. If you want to improve your game, you need to know the areas you're doing well in and where you need to improve. And this app will tell you exactly that, Nick.
Yeah, you're spot on, Mark. It's the most powerful database golf app in the world, and it helps analyze and improve your game like never before, because it uses real-time data from your rounds and highlights the areas of your game that you want to look at.
You get actionable and usable info in minutes, not hours. That's really important. It's easy to use. You can set up your profile very quickly. I've done mine. And start accessing data and subscriber-only content straight away.
Who's it aimed at?
Well, it's aimed at people who want to improve their game. It's for all levels of every golfer out there. Particularly powerful if you're a mid to low handicapper, but it's great for the elite level and pros as well.
So elite and pros as well. I like that.
Watch My Numbers. Download it from the App Store and turn your bogeys into birdies.
If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure to subscribe and never miss an episode. And maybe share it with a friend. Now back to Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. This is Talk Birdie to Me.
Party pie not too cold, Mark?
Are we on?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a rotten party pie, mate.
Gone cold.
Shocker.
Mm.
Very, very cold.
How good are party pies, though?
You know what? Party pies, for some reason, taste better than full pies.
I agree. I totally agree.
Why is that? Is it just because of the pastry? We like pastry or something?
I don't know. They're very Moorish too. That's the only problem with them.
And some of the golf clubs that really take pride in their party pies, so that they're not the ones that come from the supermarket. They actually are handmade, beautiful chunks of meat in there amongst the gravy. They are delightful.
Now, Nick has made a comment on party pies. You know why? Because Alana listens to this podcast.
Now,
he does not want to get in trouble when he gets home.
No, it's just because I don't eat them anymore. So, well, if I want to play good golf, I don't want to have the shakes on the back nine.
This is going to be a rip-roaring top five.
Top five, top five, top five.
Okay.
Yes, this top five is the longest top five players that I've ever played with.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so there's going to be a... There's a couple... Oh, you'll kind of get the drift. Anyway, number five.
Yeah.
I'm going to flip this around. I was looking at the order earlier and I thought, oh, who shall I go for? But number five is going to be Bryson DeChambeau.
Wow.
Now, obviously, he's very, very long now, right?
Hang on. Was this...
When I played with him.
Yeah, I was going to say, was this before he was the thick shake, protein
this
shake,
before,
Bryson?
When he came down to Australia as an amateur, he played the Australian Masters.
I saw him hit off the 17th hole.
I played with him. At Huntingdale, and we got to the second. So it was at the time when he had the one length clubs and all this sort of stuff, obviously. But we got to the second tee, and I hear him chatting with his caddy about the bunker, and I'm going, "Hang on, the second hole. Now it's a short par four, but there's no bunker."
Yeah.
And he was talking about the greenside bunker. He says, "Oh, what's the carry on the greenside bunker?" And I just couldn't believe it.
The carry.
Yeah, he flew it into the bunker greenside on number two at Huntingdale. Now, it was slightly downwind. How far is that?
Mate, that's too far.
Yeah, it's a long way.
I was a member there for 30 years, and I think I only knocked it in that bunker maybe once or twice.
Yeah, that was with your second shot with your wedge.
That's it. That is exactly right. All right.
So, number five.
That's Bryson pre-protein shakes.
Pre-protein shakes. He hit an enormous amount. Number four is a man who just won this past week on the Champions Tour, Ricardo González, the Argentinian.
Really?
Played with him back on the DP World Tour many, many, many years ago. Mm-hmm. And the Argentinians, it's frightening how far they hit the ball.
Cabrera. My God.
But, well, just wait.
Really?
He might be on my list. But Ricardo, he was filthy long. It was a joke. Mm. It was a joke. Number three is his compadre, Angel Cabrera. He had, I don't know how many gears, but he had several in the tank. We played the President's Cup one year. I think it was in Washington, D.C. Mm. He was playing in a match, a four-ball match, where I'd finished my match, went out to watch. And one of these opponents was Davis Love, and Davis was long.
Yeah,
I mean,
long.
He ripped it out there. Davis pumps one off the tee. I mean, he rips it. And did you see the chest go up and everything? Yeah. Angel, all of a sudden he took this swing. I've gone, ooh, he just went up a gear. I mean, he went up maybe two gears.
Yeah.
But it still looked kind of effortless, a bit like Jake Knapp and Cameron Champ. Anyway, they're walking down the fairway, and Davis knows he's pumped one.
Yeah.
And he's given it the big stride. Yeah. The chest is out. He comes to this ball, and you just see the shoulders
slump.
And there's a ball another 30 metres past him. And Angel just walks past him with a cigarette in his hand, just blowing smoke. It was beautiful. So anyway, Angel's my number four.
Nice to see Angel out of jail too.
He just got out of jail. He's done the time, and he was playing in that Champions Tour event over in Morocco. Actually,
did a horrible crime too, by the way.
Yeah,
we don't appreciate that sort of stuff.
So Angel's my number three. Number two, none other, Tiger Woods.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he's seriously long. In the match play, I was 50 metres behind him every time, which is, you know, whatever.
How many times did you beat him again?
Not enough, obviously. Obviously not enough.
50 metres past.
Don't need to describe how long that guy was. And number one, I got to play with Mr. John Daly in Memphis at the St. Jude Classic. It was part of the FedEx Cup and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. And, oh, my gosh.
Crazy town.
He was taking on lines that I just didn't even dream of. And he, as he does, you know, he just teed it up and had the cigarette and the Coke can with him. And, you know, obviously in the, what was in the Coke can, who knows. But he was unbelievably long, and he had that extra gear when he really wanted to go after it, and the crowd would just wind him up saying, come on, John, let one rip, let one rip. And sure enough, he'd give him a wink and go, watch this, boys. Seriously long anyway. That is a very my good, number one.
That's a very good top five. Can I just put a little bit of a cream on your Please. Cake? He used to play for Arkansas. He was a senior when I was a freshman, which was first year at Texas Tech, and we used to play Arkansas all the time. Mm. Anyway, that first year, one of three things happened every single week when we were playing against Arkansas. Either he got blind and took the team bus for a spin and crashed it.
Oh, jeez.
Or he destroyed a hotel room. Or he knocked it on a par four that was undrivable. One of those three things happened every single week we played over there in the college golf system.
He used to use that bullet driver too. Remember that when he won the PGA?
Oh, that was that Cobra?
Cobra,
It was like
the white-headed one.
It was just like a thing of plastic. Yeah. It was a plastic mold.
Yep.
No kick in it.
No,
what do you call it? Trampoline effect. Just sheer pace.
Unbelievable.
Crazy pace.
A couple of weeks ago, we were talking about tee times, and we had a message from a listener called Michael who has a question about tee time etiquette.
Righto.
Okay. So we're going to give him a call and have a bit of a yak to him. And,
righto.
Good. We'll find out what his question is.
You're very selective who gets the hotline, I must say.
Yeah.
Why is that? Some get the hotline and some don't.
No reason.
Hello.
Hey, Michael, it's Mark Allen and Nick O'Hearn from the Talk Birdie to Me podcast. How are you?
Good, Marco. How are you, Nico?
Very well, thanks, mate.
And you got a question for us?
Yeah. My question arises from when you mentioned Tom Kim almost not making his tee time last week.
Yeah.
So he was late. What happens if your group hits off early and hits off without you?
I believe it's a two-shot penalty.
Yeah.
If they tee off and when they call your name, now this, you know, we might have to get the rules official in with this one, but if they call your name and you're not there, it's a two-shot penalty. If you're partners hit off, but if they hit their second shots,
you're out.
Then it's a disqualification. It's DQ.
DQ. Yeah.
Righto. Is that worldwide, or is that worldwide, or the US tour?
No, I think that's worldwide. I think, because I remember it happened to me once where I was playing the Italian Open, and I went to the 10th tee, and I was off the first, and unfortunately, it was a long distance between them. The players had teed off. And before they hit their second shots, fortunately, I managed to tee off, and it was only a two-shot penalty. So,
what did you shoot?
Oh, 66? Yeah, probably. I made the cut anyway.
Has this happened to you, Michael?
Well, it happened to me in a social round where I was on time, and I was on time for my tee time, but my group hit off without me.
Oh.
So, so I was just wondering.
Well, you know what?
What should happen?
Well, what should happen there is they should get a two-shot penalty because they're assholes.
Well, that was my question: is it bad form, bad etiquette, or just bad luck?
I think did they have your phone number?
No, they didn't have my phone number. So I checked in and I got to the tee, and when I got to the tee, what I thought was my group walked up and I said, "Hey, I'm playing with you guys and I'm in this tee time." And they said, "Oh, that's your group," and they are almost on the green.
Well, I'm going to say it's poor etiquette. If they didn't know you and they didn't know your phone number and they knew that you were playing with them, they should have waited.
Yeah, it is poor etiquette. Where do you play, by the way, Michael?
Look, I play in Leongatha, so it's a course down there.
Yep.
But I met up with them on the second tee, told them that I was in their group, and then I did my best Nick Faldo and I didn't talk to them for the next four holes.
What did you make on the first?
Pre-putted for a bogey, sorry.
Well, what a shame, but it's an excellent question. Excellent question. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate
Michael. It. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Good on you.
Cheers.
Now, we've got a bit of feedback here, guys, this week. If you would like to hear some of that.
Yes, please.
Yes, please.
That would be great. Any wax this week?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, good.
Thanks.
Oh,
okay. All right. Okay, you guys played Port Arlington last week. Got a message here from Lee. was great to run into Marco down at Port. Always has time to say g'day, and I had a few words. Five birdies from the great man wasn't bad, though. I had four myself, and I didn't score too well either. So a little whack there.
Yeah, good on you, Lee.
A little dig.
No, lots of good people down there. It's the second time, it's 2 years in a row, and I got the same group 2 years in a row. And they were fabulous fellas.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah,
really,
brilliant.
Really good.
Well, Mark Hayes, he put on a wonderful pro-am.
Guys, got an email from Scott here. That's a question for you, actually. Hey, gents, love the pod every week, and I'm watching the Challenger Tour on weekends. A couple of weekends ago, King Kazuma's chip-in on the 11th on Sunday. Mm. I noticed on that tricky chip, he actually had his hand slightly behind the club head to use the bounce. It was very clever because it came out so soft. Also, the 10th at Riviera. I don't understand why the pros just don't hit, say, a 7-iron in the sandwich. I think they're more likely to make birdie that way.
Well, having played the 10th at Riviera many times, it is a nightmare to keep a wedge on there. You're better off just bombing it down there and hope that you get some sort of an angle. You've got more of a chance than that. I know some people do like to lay it up. I've laid it up in the past, but it's just such a
still
hard
a tough
second
shot.
Oh, yeah. You've got no room to hit it in. And with the length that these guys are hitting, they're hitting 3-wood, so you may as well have a crack.
What about the play of actually hitting something where you hit it greenside, but just in the apron? Is it too tight a area to hit that apron?
No, that's the play. It's just to the front left. That's where you're always trying to aim. But what tends to happen is it either kicks hard and it goes way long, and then all of a sudden you've got the bunker to deal with over the back, and then you can't really go at the flag. A lot of players go well to the left, and there's rough and there's trees. They can get blocked out. If you go on that front bunker, though, that is the worst spot to be.
The front bunker's no
good.
The front
bunker's horrible.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Really tough to hold the green from there. Really tough. Okay. But with his point with Kazuma's chip shot as well, I thought he played it beautifully. Hands back a little. He almost played it like a semi-little flop. And I think it came out a little soft too, and that's the way you play those.
Yeah. What groove did he use? Don't answer that question.
Okay.
It's all about the masterclass.
Okay, I won't. All right.
Plenty of comments still coming through on socials about hidden gem golf courses. Steve Melly reckons Lynx Lady Bay in South Australia is amazing.
I've heard very, very good things about that golf course. Where is it? Close to Victor Harbour?
Victor Harbour, okay. Yeah. Used to play Pro-Am Circus down there, but I never got to Lynx Lady Bay.
So it's only reasonably new, I reckon. Might only be 15 years old.
Okay.
Something like that. Correct. By the way, if I'm wrong, please get in touch with our socials and give us a bit of a critique
on
Lynx Lady
Bay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just looking at a photo a moment ago while you were talking, it looks amazing, by the way.
It's good. It's
Kim Crute has said, Nullarbor Lynx takes more than 4 hours around, so it's a long one, and the Hamilton Island Golf Course.
Yeah, I've been there, and you want to take a pocket full of balls because the fairways are, I don't know, 15 metres wide when I played it, but the most beautiful views of any golf course I've ever seen anywhere in the world. Right there at Hamilton Island. Yeah. But the golf course, it's kind of more just exercise than it is a fair dinkum round of golf.
Yeah, I've seen pictures, but I've never been there. But now, Nullarbor Lynx, is that the one which stretches over a long, you know, you've got to drive 100 kilometres to the next hole?
I reckon
is
that what it is.
Okay. I think that's it.
Yeah.
So is that what you actually do? You actually drive...
You play a hole and then you got to drive another 100K or something.
So it's something to do while you're driving on the Nullarbor.
Exactly.
That's not a bad idea.
Great idea.
I think it's the longest... I could be wrong on this. I think it's the longest golf course in the world.
So makes sense.
Have to be.
Makes sense.
Daryl Lynch wrote in.
You wouldn't want to walk it.
Dale Lynch?
No, Daryl Lynch.
Oh.
Daryl Lynch.
Okay.
Daryl wrote in regarding your masterclass last week, Nick. I tried this technique today and my iron striking was materially better. Mm-hmm. This Nick bloke might know something.
Yeah. Well, Jack Nett did as well. He won on the PGA Tour. Yeah. So up there for thinking, Daryl.
Every now and then I have an idea. So every now and then.
Now, I'll be very interested in your views on this one, guys. We asked this week on socials, if you could change the outcome of one moment in golf history, what would it be? Actually, it was a retweet from the from the Nuclear Golf Twitter account. It was very good. And we had a few comments from our listeners. Daniel said, Larry Myers' rubbish chip-in that should have ended up in the water.
Yes.
The shark should have a green jacket, even though he blew a few good chances.
Tick.
Pete Brown, Monty's second. Oh, you're going to like this one, Mark. Monty's second at the 72nd hole at Wingfoot. Pipes the drive, then it all goes pear-shaped.
It was in a divot. I'll give him a little bit of an out. It was in a divot. But still very happy that Jeff Ogilvie won. And very happy that the bloke over here finished in the top 10 that week in that US Open.
Yeah.
Everyone forgets that.
Yeah.
Not me, Nick.
I got to the winning score with 9 holes to go.
Did you really?
I did.
You were on the winning score with 9 holes to play.
So
hang on, what happened?
Well, Final round, leaders are around one or two over. I'm about nine over par going into the final round, running in the 20th, 25th.
It was the toughest US Open.
It was unbelievable. It was a joke. Wilbur says to me, he says, Nick, I think five over is going to win. And I said, yeah, you're about right. And he says, we can do that. I said, Wilbur, we're nine over for a reason.
Yeah.
How am I going to shoot four under? As it turned out, through nine holes, I'm four under. I am playing lights out. I mean, it's crazy. And I get to five over, but as soon as you get to that mark, I thought, oh, I'm at the mark. And then I three putted 10 to go to six over. And anyway, I shot three over on the back. So
how far were you away from the hole when you three putted?
I was about 40 feet. So it was the par three, 10th. But I made a birdie to get that back, and then a couple of bogeys coming. And then I forced it at the end, trying to get to, you know, five over.
What
so.
A star. That's pretty
anyway,
good.
That was good fun.
That's pretty good.
Comment from Adam here, who said this is one of his ones that he'd change the outcome of if he could. Greg Norman not choking at the Masters any one of those years.
Yeah. Which one?
The worst was 96.
The Faldo one was.
That's true.
Yeah. It felt like that one, for a lot of people, it felt like their team had lost the grand final.
Mm.
Now, we've got a question from Noel here, and so it's a bit of a long question, so I'll skim through some of it. Yesterday, my wife played in a midweek women's monthly medal. On the 10th hole, a par 5, she had a brain fade, and after her 7th shot, she reverted to Stableford format, knocked her ball away from the hole, thinking she was out of shots. Unfortunately, she forgot that it was a stroke event, not Stableford.
That can happen.
Unclear of the rules, she then played two balls. One from where she hit her ball to nearly off the green, the 8th shot, and two-putted for a 10. The other was placed where a playing partner had realised her mistake and had quickly placed a tee where her ball was next to the cup, which he tapped in for an 8. After the round, they asked the assistant pro at the club for a ruling before submitting a score. He advised, ball replaced, tapped in was the correct option, but with a 1-stroke penalty, recorded a 9.
That sounds fair.
If she made the 8, she would have won the A-grade monthly medal.
Oh, no.
Is that ruling correct? That's his question.
Well, look, common sense tells me it's probably spot on. Common sense tells me, but that's me talking.
That is you talking. Now, you know what we do when we go to any rules that we need to know about? I went to our rules guy, Stuart McPhee, from the Golf Rules Questions podcast.
Right.
Thank you very much. Yep. And here's what he said. He said, when the player hit her ball away from the hole, thinking she was going to wipe the hole playing Stableford, that hit is not considered a stroke, as she had no intent to make that stroke and have it count towards her hole score. He also goes on to say, you can get away penalty-free with accidentally causing your ball to move on the putting green now as well. However, her hit away from the hole would not be considered accidental movement, as she deliberately hit it away.
Right.
The pro shop has provided the correct ruling. The player has deliberately caused her ball to move. Therefore, the ruling is replace the ball, if not known exactly where, then the best estimate, and add 1 penalty stroke. So 9 is the correct score.
So did she lose in the playoff? Not in the playoff, in a countback.
By 1 stroke.
One stroke. That's brutal.
Good on you, Stuart. And his golf podcast, what's it called again?
Golf Rules Questions.
He's a ripper.
He knows his stuff.
Yeah, he's good.
Very impressive.
Very good.
He's very good.
Bing Global is up, Nick.
Okay. Hey, I don't say it anymore. It's you guys.
No,
it's so catchy.
We're all learning.
Are you going to come in and play trumpet one day, by the way?
One day.
I'd love to see that.
One day.
Love to
see
it.
I used to play the trumpet when I was a kid. And the piano.
So we saw Jake Knapp, former bouncer, turned professional golfer.
Hey, by the way, whatever club he was bouncing at, I have no problem just pushing in line and going straight through. He doesn't look like much of a tough guy to me.
Who knows, yeah. Anyway, it was the Mexico Open on the PGA Tour. He had a 2-shot win over Finland's Sami Valamäki. As you said, he hit two fairways.
Fairways in the
final
last
round. And he still shot level par.
Did he have a 4-shot lead at the start of the...
4-shot, went down to zip.
He started bogey, par, bogey, and then after 6, it's back to square.
Yeah, I think Valamäki made eagle on the 6th, the drivable par 4. So, incredible.
Mm.
We had one Aussie in the field who made the cut. Aaron Baddeley finished tied for 24th. So, well done, Bads. The other thing about Jake Knapp, he never missed a putt inside 5 feet all week.
Mm.
That works, by the way.
Absolutely, it works.
Imagine doing that. Pick it up. Nice. That's what they do at Kingston Heath, right? Just pick it up inside 5 feet.
No gimmies at Kingston Heath.
No gimmies
at Kingston Heath. No way.
Right, very good. On the LPGA Tour, they were playing the Honda LPGA Thailand tournament, where Patty Tavatanakit, the local hero, went back-to-back wins. She won on the LET last year.
Good on her.
Last week.
Yeah.
And she won on home soil. Her first win since the 2021 Chevron Champ, which was a major.
That's a big tournament. Yeah, huge. It's a big one.
Mm. So a great win for Patty. She had to birdie the final hole. Really nice up and down, actually. You'd be interesting to watch that, Mark, because she was into the green uphill and she gave it the little chunky stab and run. It was an excellent shot. Not how I thought she was going to play it.
Because Jack Knapp had a little chip on the 17th hole that they were saying was into the grain, and he did something very different.
Very different. Well, yep. Patty, she went steep. Yeah, which is interesting.
Old
now,
school.
Of the Aussies, Sarah Kemp and Grace Kim finished tied for 31st. Steph Kyriakou tied 41, and Hannah Green tied for 54th. On the DP World Tour, they were playing the Magical Kenya Open.
Greatest name of a tournament ever.
Exactly. Dutchman Darius van Driel had a three-shot win over Joe Dean and Nacho Elvira.
His name's Nacho.
Nacho Elvira. And Nacho has a brother, Manuel, who finished tied fourth, one shot back of Nacho.
Nacho and Manuel.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Elvira, I'm not sure how you say that. But on the Australasian front, we had New Zealander Sam Jones, the lefty, tied 42nd, and Hayden Barron tied for 64th. On the Asian tour, massive turnout from the LIV players, and also a massive turnout by the Aussies, by the way.
How many Aussies were playing?
Well, 12 Aussies made the cut, and quite a few missed. So I reckon they had about 20 Aussies playing.
Wow. But
Mexico's Carlos Ortiz, who is a fireball on the LIV tour, he shot a final round 65 for a four-shot win over fellow LIV player Louis Oosthuizen. Carlos had 7 birdies in 9 holes from the 6th hole on to just take the tournament by the scruff of the neck.
Who is it? Carlos
Ortiz.
Let me quickly look up his current world ranking after a win.
I think I've... it wasn't updated when
I
looked at it.
How do you say his last name?
Ortiz. O-R-T-I-Z.
O-R-T-I-Z.
Yeah.
All right. And I just put golf. Continue.
Joaquin Niemann finished third. He's another good... Well, got more world ranking points, obviously, because that's why they were there. The International Series in Oman, this tournament. Tied for fourth was our own Maverick Antcliffe. A very good result for Maverick. As I said, 12 Aussies made the cut, and the best was Maverick, tied for 4th. Lucas Herbert and Travis Smyth tied for 10th, and tied 14th was Justin Warren and Kevin Yuan. So well done to all those players. You found that world ranking yet?
Well, it says he's number 1,286, but after a win, surely not.
Well, it hasn't been updated yet, I'd say.
I'll just click on the best performances.
See, it hasn't been updated. His last event was International Series Singapore.
Well, okay, so it hasn't been updated. It's listed... But they've got him at 1,286. So what's he going to move to? 500?
He should,
400.
500, something like that. Top 500. Yeah, okay. That helps him.
Okay,
on the ladies' European tour, they're playing the, I'm not sure I'm going to get this right, Lala Mariem Cup in Morocco.
Mate, that is exactly right.
Is it?
Yep. None of us will know.
Yep, exactly right.
I figured. Bronte Law came from 8 shots back, shooting a 9-under 64 for a three-shot win. Incredible.
She must have been hitting off at 9 a.m.
She was flushing it. Of the Australasians, Momoka Kabori, Kazuma's sister, tied for 42nd. Kirsten Radley tied for 59th. Also in Morocco, they were playing the Champions Tour event, the Trophy Hassan 2. Ricardo Gonzalez had a one-shot win over Thomas Bjorn. So well done to Ricardo. Again, a massive Aussie presence there amongst the field. Mark Hensby, another good finish, tied for 3rd. Yeah. Richard Green tied 7th.
Yeah.
Stuart Appleby tied 11th, and Stephen Allen in his first Champions Tour event tied for 13th. So well done, Stevie. Steve.
Cousin
Steve.
Was
his second? I can't remember. Anyway, and then locally, a couple of interesting results. Firstly, we had the WPGA event, the Athena, going on at Peninsula Kingswood.
Stop. I've never seen a golf course look better on TV than Peninsula Kingswood. It looked unbelievable. Mm. The best looking golf course I've ever seen from this country on TV.
Really?
Continue. Okay. Please continue.
I will. Thank you. Nice plug there. Kelsey Bennett defeated Amy Chu in the final to take out the Athena. Cassie Porter, her own Pings, Cassie Porter, would lead after day one, but when they go into the match play, it all changed after that. So well done to Kelsey. That's her first professional win. So big result for her. And also, I just want a bit of a shout out here on the Legends Tour, since we were talking about this earlier. Peter Lonnard shot an 11 under 59 in round two.
Bogeyed the last.
Bogeyed the last as well.
Come
he said on, after the first day, he was three over and he wanted to give up the game.
Yeah.
And then after the second day, he says, all was right with the world again. So a great win.
If he birdies the last, he shoots 57.
57, correct.
He makes it two on the par three.
It was only like 130-metre hole too, I think. So, anyway.
Hey, can I give a shout-out too, just quickly? To Momoka Kabori, she just hasn't been the same since now. Kazuma's the favourite amongst the parents.
She's going along steadily. She's keeping a card over there on the Ladies European Tour.
Well, I hope Mr. and Mrs. Kabori are still calling her and still making an effort to include her in family functions and making sure that she feels loved.
I think she'll be okay.
Because ever since Kazuma started playing well,
I think
her graph's gone the wrong way.
She will be okay. But that was the Ping Global results. And you know what might help Momoka,
Mark?
Is if she listens to your masterclass.
Yes. Well, just before I get to the masterclass, just before I do, we want to get James Sutherland on this podcast very, very soon. One of the reasons we want to get him on is because I did notice during the week that the US Open announced where they're having the 2050 US Open.
They've gone that far ahead?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't even know where it is, but I've forgotten. We've got an Australian Open in November 2024, so what's that? That's 10 months away? We don't even know what state the Australian Open's in.
That's true.
It might be in Victoria, and I think it's due to come back here, but it may not. It might be in New South Wales. Anyway, just watch that space, please, because that's unusual for the biggest event that we have in this country for men and for women, and it still doesn't have a home at the moment. Now, we broadcast from Australian Golf headquarters, so James may well be upstairs, and it's on his whiteboard, for all we know. So it may well be there.
I hope it is.
There has still not been an announcement, which is unusual.
Well, he'll know. He's the bloke to go to. So you're organising this, Mark?
No, I've put in
it's on the list.
Josh Martin. I've called Josh Martin. We're on his radar.
Okay.
Right.
Going to be a tough interview, Josh, once we get him, mate. So he might want to be hydrated.
You can line him up.
He'll be sweating bullets when he comes in here. Now, I'm going to start by saying I am a stupid, stupid man.
Well, we all know that.
Because I've been trying to chip like the youngsters, you know, using the bounce. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to do it for a long time. I had you came down to Kingston Heath and gave me a short game lesson trying to help me.
Well, you said you wanted to, so I showed you how to do
That's
it.
Right.
But I don't do it that way.
I know you don't do it that way, but I don't have the hands of gold anymore. I used to. But I don't have the – not anymore. And I'm trying to learn to chip with the bounce. Now, I'm doing this Titleist University at the moment. And that is because I'm a Titleist ambassador. I just got to know about the clubs. I read – that Bob Vokey has designed his wedges so that when you chip and when you pitch using the bounce, you're supposed to use groove 2 to 5. So basically, you want to use grooves 3 and 4. That's what you want to do. I had no idea. I'm still trying to use the middle of the wedge. And no wonder I'm drop kicking badly, and no wonder I'm chunking them regularly. Trying to use the bounce.
A player's that good that they can pick out which groove they want to hit?
Now, Nick, I know you're from the old school. You want to come forward with me. Come to the future.
Okay.
Come to the future with me.
This is going
to
be a great video.
And the chipping and the pitching. Now, in my head, I watched it. And then, not long after, I saw Bob Vokey actually speaking with Billy Horschel. Mm-hmm. And I'll put the link out so you can all watch it. And Bob Vokey's right there going, you've got to use groove 2 to 5. And if you use the bounce with the mindset that you're going to hit the ball low in the club, then the shaft can be straight up and down at impact and the ball still come out low and fizzing. But if you're from the old school and are still trying to search for the middle, for the sweet spot, the one that's, you know, is the actual sweet spot, then you're going to be doing what I do, drop kick and chunk. But I haven't been doing that lately because guess what, Nick? I'm in the future.
Okay.
And I am chipping and pitching with grooves 2 to 5 and it, out of nowhere, is now making sense. And I saw Jake Knapp do it. I saw him, we spoke about it on the 17th hole. There was a par 5 he got up and down from. He's using the new technique and without doubt, He's using groove 3 and 4 most of the time because he pitched beautifully. So,
what is the technique?
The technique is you set up with the shaft straight up and down.
Okay.
You're taking it back nice and low. You're coming back into it nice and shallow, which is almost like a putting stroke. Minimal hand action. Minimal. Almost a putting stroke. And you are trying to hit the ground underneath the ball, but only using groove 2 to 5. Watch what happens, because I haven't drop kicked one, and I haven't duffed one, and at last week when I was 2 over par early, my chipping and pitching came to the top, and I got it back to under par, thanks to groove 2 to 5.
Beautiful.
So it's a mindset.
Okay.
Are you convinced, Nick?
Come to the future.
I want to see the video.
Come.
Well, hey,
to the future.
My chipping, I hit the ball out the middle of the club all the time anyway, so I don't miss hit my chip shots.
Yeah, I know.
I'm okay with that.
I know. And the only way to do that is to actually lean the club forward, because when you lean the club forward, the ball actually gets hit. You hit the ball higher on the face when you do it.
Yeah.
But
You can hit it higher or lower, depending on what you want to do.
Come outside. I'll give you a lesson, mate. Yeah, Me and Bob Vokey.
Let's play for a bit of something on the side.
The spirit of Bob Vokey will be on my shoulder. And he's the guy, mate. When you think about it, he's the guy who's designing these things. So you ought to know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He's one of the nicest guys in golf, too.
Hey, you were talking about Peninsula Kingswood before. We put a photo on socials this week of PK taken by Gary Lisbon. It's an amazing photo.
It's
incredible.
It is amazing. The colours and the rich green of the fairways and the brown, the really burnt rough and the native trees. It looked unbelievable.
It had, the par 3? It was in your top 5,
the
too.
The second. Did you see that hole?
I did. Beautiful that hole. The left-hander's hole, too.
Is it?
Just draw it up into there nicely.
Yeah. That bonus pod we did with Gary Lisbon a couple of weeks ago was fantastic. If anyone's listening and hasn't heard that, you need to go back and have a listen to it. It was great.
It's always a good chat, Gary.
See you next week.
See you guys.
Cheers.
Thanks for being part of Talk Birdie to Me with Nick O'Hearn and Mark Allen. And if you want to be part of the show, drop us a message or comment on the socials. Or you can send an email or leave a voicemail at talkbirdietome.com.au. Thanks to the great team at Ping, they're the best in the business and they'll help you play your best. And the Golf Clearance Outlet. If you're after top quality at prices you won't beat, check them out. golfclearanceoutlet.com.au. Talk Birdie to Me's executive producer is Dan Bradley at Kaizen Media. Sound design, Daryl Misson at loudzebra.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.